You're listening to the BBS Radio Network, and this is Between Two Worlds with Derek White Sky Cloud, healer, author, shaman, paranormal investigator. Stay tuned. Up next is Between Two Worlds with Derek White Sky Cloud.
Hello, everybody. This is Derek White Sky Cloud, your favorite neighborhood psychic medium and paranormal investigator. We have great guests this week. We have actually a paranormal team actually to come in from the South Carolinas. We've got Shelly and Christine, and she has a few other people that are actually part of that crew. Now, I want to give you a bit of a boost in finding out what these people are all about, where they're actually located, and what their purposes are. So here's where we go. We're going to give you a little bit of a bio. Shelly and Christine have been investigating the paranormal separately for over 20 years, and when they came together in 2006 to form the South Carolina Paranormal Research and Investigations, which is called the SCPRAI.org. Starting out with only the two of them, they have grown to be a well-respected team in the South Carolinas with 35 members in three separate chapters over the area. The main purpose of SCPRAI is to help educate the public about the paranormal experiences and to help them understand what is going on when they have occurrences. The team's hope is to make the paranormal a little more normal. Shelly grew up in a haunted house, which led to her... I'm reading this part and I got missed, but something else came, just hooked right into me. We're getting Pal Talk hooked up here, I'm sure we're here right now. We're in the room. I like to welcome everybody else in the room, by the way. Those are in the chat rooms, the Pal Talk, and those are actually also in the chat rooms on BBS Radio. Now, to further the story, Shelly grew up in a haunted house, which led to her interest in the paranormal. Unknown spirits let's put it this way, having to steal her clothes, removed them from her drawers, and keys moved, doors opening and closing, and other various happenings became normal for her. After a few friends decided not to visit her home any longer, she started to research more into the cause of various paranormal activity. It wasn't long before she was investigating various sites around upstate South Carolina with her friends, and it grew from there. Over the years, she has investigated many sites and hopes to continue for years to come. Christine grew up in the New Orleans, being surrounded by such rich history, she couldn't help but be pulled into the paranormal world, and Christine loves walking through the old cemeteries, the battlefields, and et cetera, et cetera. She's also into looking at gravestone art and has quite a few photos of beautiful artwork that she has found in cemeteries over the years. She also researches the meanings behind the symbols on gravestones. Christine also has a degree in anthropology and minored in history. They continue to do their own work and also being in demand for their service. You know, I'm kind of curious if actually Shelley's clothes get stolen by the ghosts, but we're going to ask that question soon. Is Shelly and Christine there?
Yep, we're here.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good. Is Christine there too?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Christine.
Hi.
Long time no talk.
Yeah, it's been a while.
you ladies have actually quite the career. I mean, before you got into the paranormal field, what did you each of you do before? I mean, as a career, if you weren't doing the paranormal, what would you be doing right now?
Well, I was an office manager for a leasing company for years, and I also taught in a adult education program.
Okay, and what did Christine do? I mean, even though you had that, but is there anything else besides just being in the looking at gravestones?
Oh, I still work full-time. I'm a veterinary technician.
Oh, okay. Okay, so veterinary technician.
Yes.
So that's basically helping animals.
Yes.
Do you ever get to see dead animals that are in spirit?
I have, yes.
Yeah, and have you ever had any of them in your journey, like basically when you guys are doing your investigation, have you come across animals that are in spirit that you've actually recognized or noticed in the in that program?
I actually have many years ago, yeah. I haven't
what
recently.
Let's put it this way. I want to ask you, Christine, I mean, this is my most important part. I'm going to ask you guys. Now, before we get really crazy, but I want to ask one question. When you were in your path, in your past, what made you decide to get into the paranormal?
It was something that always fascinated me. Growing up where I did, there were, you know, a lot of different aspects of it that I was always around. So it was something that always fascinated me, and I just kept going with it.
Wow. So, I mean, let's put it this way. Have you ever had, I guess you'd say, any really paranormal activity that really somehow put a scare in you at all? Or even open your eyes more?
No, I can't say that I've had anything that really scared me. I think any experiences that I have had have just intrigued me more to want to find out what it's all about.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Absolutely. I'd have to agree with that, too.
Okay. But, you know, the funny thing is, even though I was ready to take callers, we got a caller coming in right now, so I guess there's somebody who wants to ask a question, so we're going to have that open line. You guys ready for some questions?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, we got a caller calling in.
Hi, Derek.
Hi.
This is Nick in Costa Rica.
Hi, Nick. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I've got a paranormal team that actually is on the show at this moment.
Yes,
do you have a question with this paranormal team from South Carolina?
Yeah, I do.
Okay,
you
what
know,
question do you have?
When my grandmother was alive, she would tell me how her last husband, she had three, the last one would, she would be sitting in the living room and he would appear on the sofa across from her and smile at her, but as soon as she moved, he would disappear. And do you think that was a real apparition? Was it really him, or was she dreaming?
Well, that depends. Shelley, Christine, have you ever had something like that happen to you in that same way? What would you think that would be?
Yeah, my initial thought would probably be that I was dreaming. But you know what? Everybody has different experiences, so I would hate to rule it out.
She was quite psychic, you know, and I'm not so sure about that, but she would swear that he was real. And,
yeah. I mean, he could have very well been, but I'm just, you know, if it was me that was doing that, I probably would have thought I was dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, anybody who is actually involved more in the... if they're not knowing what that is paranormal or that is active as far as spirits are concerned, the presence of spirits. So basically, I would say my understanding of this, because I also work as a paranormal investigator, it depends on the woman herself. If she thinks that there was an apparition that was there, the only way you really know the proof of this, if you actually had other people with you, you can only go by your own word, your own belief system.
Yeah,
but if you are believing, like yourself, and your mom told you the story, I would listen to her, take her advice. There was her husband there. Let's put it this way, her marrying having three husbands, she was a busy woman.
Yeah, well, they all died naturally, but I swear that the first one kind of dangled over, that's a long story, but the second one that would have been closer to me, and I carry one of his names, I believe that he came to me after he died, and I was probably about 6 years old, seven maybe, and
yeah.
I believe he came to me with a couple of other people. He walked by my bed and scared me, and I believe they did come to see me. His name was Walter. I believe he did come.
I would say go with it. See what happens from there. You know, like if I, you know what? Actually, to be honest with you, what I would do if I were you, I would actually write this down and put it in a logbook. Like make your own logbook. Tell your, you know, sure, keep that story as part of history.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Because most, I mean, you guys yourself, you guys actually keep logs, don't you, when you're on site?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, by the way,
any other questions, sir?
I just want to let you know that I ordered the heart drops.
Oh, good. I hope it works out for you.
I hope they do. They're so terrible tasting. It's so difficult, but
it works. I'm telling you, it works.
I believe
it,
that
it
I
work.
Already
it works
feel.
Quite well.
Yeah, I already feel some improvement. But
yeah.
Wow.
Good. I'm glad you're. I hope you get healthier and healthier and healthier and stronger and stronger.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Okay. Take care.
Thank you so much for referring that, and good luck to these girls. And anyway.
Okay. Take care,
okay.
Sir.
Yeah, bye.
Bye. Bye. You know, Al, here's one. Actually, something I want to ask you guys. You've been asked this before, but I heard that APSR Radio, which is another paranormal team up in Alabama, they asked you to be part of their program. So basically, you'll be starting your own radio show. And what's the title going to be?
We are dubbed the Paranormal Divas, thanks to Old Hip.
Paranormal Divas. Now, okay. I noticed your last picture, you're actually making yourself blonde. Now, are you, both you ladies now are blonde. Is this going to be what's called a blonde paranormal team?
No, not everybody on the team is blonde.
You realize if you go that direction, even the guy's got to be blonde, too.
Yeah, I don't know how much luck we'd have talking them into that, though.
I got a joke for you. Here, I'm going to show this. You know, this is a blonde joke, but this is actually a different kind of blonde joke. How do you know if the ghost is a blonde? When you see one carrying a mirror and lipstick. Okay, work on that one.
Yeah. Thank goodness last time I checked in our cases, there weren't any mirrors or lipstick in there, so I think we're safe for now.
That's one of your important pieces you got to take with you when you go on site. We have another caller calling in.
Hello?
Caller, are you there?
I am. Hello.
Yes, what's your name? Where are you from?
This is Michelle from South Carolina.
Well, nice to meet you, and we have someone from South Carolina. Now, you have a question to ask Christine and Shelley.
No, I had more of a question for you, but I'd love to hear what they have to say also.
Regarding what?
My question is, the past couple of holiday seasons, I have gotten some pictures, and I'm not getting the messages from the pictures, and I'm not understanding why. I mean, are the pictures the actual message, or is there something deeper that I need to actually have somebody else look at them?
Are these pictures actually like orbs in them or streaks inside or?
Yeah, like definite orbs and movement, some ectoplasm mist, just a lot of various stuff.
Okay. Okay. Shelley?
Well, actually, I do have to go ahead and point out that Michelle is trying to be sneaky. She is definitely part of our team.
Okay, a little sneaky.
Actually, I think, you know, Derek, if you have any advice for her, that would be awesome.
Anyone who actually takes pictures of photographs of spirits, and these are orbs, I mean, I've done this for years, and, you know, I mean, anybody who actually knows, even if an apparition of a body even shows up in a photograph now, and I've known some guys that are actually in all kinds of paranormal teams that will show itself, including a regular camera with a negative. If it shows itself that direction, trust me, I know very well it's for real. I mean, yeah, you've got people out there that try to put a fakery into a camera, but, you know, it's common logic. if you have seen orbs in there, definitely those are spirits that are in the presence. And if you know yourself on site, you've taken those pictures, you feel that someone's presence is there, you just know. It's common knowledge, just basically plain common sense. But if it doesn't feel, if it feels like it's no feeling there, and I don't know, I guess that's my own thinking. It depends on each person.
Oh yeah, I thoroughly agree with that. With the energy, I can feel it. Sometimes I can connect to actually who it might be, but there are other times I really don't have a clue.
Yeah. Well, I would say what you can do for me, you can email me the photograph, and I can have a boo at it.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
You like the joke?
Yeah. I used all of those.
Anyways, yeah, send me the photographs or any pictures you got and email them to me, and I'll have a boo at them, and I can give you a response back and see what they are. Now, there are other websites that people offer the opportunity to get to give you their opinions. I mean, that's why what I do is I take the photographs myself and I put them up on my website
mm-hmm.
with the person's permission saying, you know, let the public make their own decision what they're going to do with it.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And that's exactly how you'll know.
No problem. I'm greatly appreciated.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling.
Have a great evening. Bye.
How often do you ladies ever go up to go on your calls?
Well, that varies. You know, right before Christmas, we didn't have much, and the team kind of took the holidays off, but. It seems like we're getting one or two a week in now.
But you never had no ghosts of Christmas past?
Nope, not yet. I think Christine probably deserves one, though. She's the bad girl of the group.
Have you guys ever had, Christine, you ever had a ghost at Christmas time or something that you've done before on Christmas that was actually kind of peculiar?
No, I can't say around Christmas, no. Mm-mm.
You ever felt kind of haunted after you eat the turkey, think of it could be haunting you too?
Yeah, well, that's a different story.
Get that strange feeling inside of you?
Yeah. The gas of Christmas past.
Yeah, the gas of Christmas past, yeah. Now, you did have one of your paranormal teams call in. What's everyone's position specifically? What are they all responsible for? I mean, what do they think they've learned out of this?
Well, we didn't ask her to call in. She snuck behind our backs and called in.
Yeah, she did.
I mean, we're basically broken up like every other team. We're kind of all pretty much on the same level, although there are a few people on the team that say that they have the wrong equipment to be in the hierarchy.
Have the wrong equipment or right equipment?
The wrong equipment.
Well, you know, they don't can't just buy those $29 gizmos you buy at a spy store that looks like Ghostbusters. They don't work no more.
No, not that equipment.
Not the backpack.
Yeah, we're referring to all of the hierarchy in our team is female. It didn't happen that way on purpose, but yeah. So some of the members who are members, I said members, but they're coming in later and wondering why there are no male hierarchy yet. So
now, what is the most, like even though you've been on site, now I know you guys have been doing like cemeteries and churches and residences and bridges and battlefields. What was the most memorable one for you, basically, as far as a battlefield?
Cowpens, which we just did this Saturday, was awesome.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, did you get any EVPs?
Yeah.
Electronic voice phenomena?
Actually, we did get a couple. But, I mean, we had just personal experiences alone out there. We could have taken absolutely nothing out there with us and still had stuff, you know, that was just awesome.
Yeah. I think we've got another caller calling in. We have another caller calling in? Is there another caller calling in?
I hope so.
Who am I speaking to? Where are you from, sir?
This is Justin from Mississippi.
Oh, God, hang up. Hurry.
Hey, Justin, how's it going?
It's going. Derek knows me, you too, so, I mean, he's not going to hang up on me.
I knew that ghostly freak.
Yeah, he knows me. I had a two-part question, actually. The first part of my question is, what is the most terrifying part of an investigation that you two personally, Shell and Chris, that y'all have been on together? Has there been like a real terrifying moment that both of you have experienced on the same investigation?
Terrifying as in scary, no. Terrifying as in explaining things so that the clients don't freak out, yeah.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Who has to keep the most, calm nerves to keep everybody settled so nobody gets freaked out?
Actually, we're both pretty calm when it comes to things like that.
So you let everybody else scream and you guys stand there going, like, no big deal?
No, nobody on our team will scream because they know that Shelly is going to be somewhere with a camera and
yeah.
I'm going to put it on every website that I can find. They don't run.
What's your second part, Justin?
The second part of my question is, Chris, when are we going to Olive Garden and getting our beer? Come on now, you're putting me off.
Is that a haunted restaurant?
Probably is now, yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised.
It will be when I get there.
It becomes as haunting when you hang out there. Is that a haunted place or is that just a restaurant?
It's just a restaurant. It was an ongoing joke from earlier today. But that's actually what I wanted to ask was about the terrifying aspect of it. But y'all are having a great show. Thanks so much for taking my call, Derek. And you have a good night, and y'all have a good night, and God bless. I'm getting off the phone.
Thanks, Justin.
Night, everyone.
Well, most terrifying. You know what? I've had my situation, but my most terrifying was actually when I was a kid. Being in a graveyard, but I learned a lot from my grandfather. You know, when you walk in a graveyard, he used to always say, you know, it's not the dead that'll hurt you, it's the living.
Right, exactly.
But if somebody's in that graveyard you don't know at nighttime, they try to scare the crap right out of you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, then you leave a streak in the ground, you know, and wonder why you were... How did you ladies get trained? Who trained you on to do your work? You get any training from someone who actually knows the field themselves, or do you just basically you're self-trained, or how did you become? What made you decide to do like in that kind of field?
Well, me personally, after doing this for 20 years, you know, it's like you start out and. You're just walking around with some friends experiencing things, and then it kind of moves up, and, you know, you do research, and you find out, oh, okay, well, you know, they're starting to use, you know, this piece of equipment, or they're doing this now. So you kind of teach yourself how to do it, and after 20 years, of course, you know, I'm still learning things. I don't know everything. Nobody does.
Right.
So, I mean, for me, it was learn as you go. Now, if there's something, a new piece of equipment, you know, I learn how to use that piece of equipment, and I try to help the team understand how to use it.
What about you, Christine?
Yeah, same for me. I guess mostly it was self-taught. So.
Yeah.
Everything's a learning process.
Yeah, so basically you were just, you didn't have really anybody that knew as much professionally. You just had to go on your own and learn from there.
Yes, trial and error. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I wouldn't recommend that to anybody now.
No, not now.
If I was starting out today,
More activity than it used to be years ago.
Yeah, I would definitely say mentor or join a group until you've got some experience under your belt before you even try to go out and do something like this now.
Do you ever take a medium or a psychic on site with you at all?
We actually have a clairvoyant on our team, and we also have, she doesn't like labels, but she's pretty much a medium. So, and
just
she's actually
what you do is you take her shirt down to the store that does the hot ironing and put the back of it, I'm psychic, and then.
You know, we do need to do something because she's kind of a little more tightly wound than the rest of us.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we need to do something to break
just
her
you guys
up
set people
bit.
Up that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. where you put something on your own T-shirts, I see dead people, and when I go home and, you know. Anyways. have you ever dealt with any attacks by entities? At all, like you'd ever have, like you feel like you're being thrown or pushed down or hit or hurt or rushed?
Well, me personally, no. I've felt like I was being touched before, you know, but I've
not talking about boyfriends. I'm talking about.
Oh well, no, yeah, no.
Yeah, never mind.
no, nothing malicious. That I can think of, or anything that I took as being malicious anyway.
Right, me either.
No? So you guys are just boring. Hey, you got to strike up the little bit of volume bit there, you know, like, come on, guys, I dare you, come on, you know.
Well, you know what, ask us again, we'll make something up.
Okay. I'll talk about the ghost. Now, so you never, what was like basically you consider, oh, here's one for you, I know one for you. When you're leaving the site, because this happens to me quite often, when you leave the site after you're just doing paranormal investigating, have you ever thought of feeling that there's actually somebody in your house that followed you home? Are you pretty sure there was nobody around you?
I thought one time, normally, you know, you do your little thing before and after you leave someplace. But I did, I swear I had somebody follow me home from a graveyard that's here nearby we were using for training. And it was really weird because whoever it was that was with me was gone after I found a stray cat on the side of the road. So I kind of feel like, you know, they were leading me that way for a reason because I even took a road that I don't normally take.
No, not at all.
For coming home, no, because, you know, I'm like, okay, you know, if anybody followed me home, you're not allowed to come in, you know, the whole protection thing going on.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah. Now,
probably has
even though you're saying the whole protection, what would you say, because a lot of people here on our radio program here have no idea what to say if there is someone following them home and they feel there's an entity following them home or in their house, what would you say, what advice would you give for them?
Oh, well, that depends on the situation. But most definitely, going into any place, you go in with positive energy, nothing but positive energy. You want to block anything out that's going to cloud, you know, your perception on things, number one. Number two, anything from, you know, taking your energy away from you. But the main thing is, I mean, you know, just ask them. Don't follow me. You're not allowed to follow me.
Yeah.
You know, you say it a couple of times pretty sternly, and it usually works. For anything worse than that, you know, people have their different religions that they follow. So my best guess would be to, you know, do what you think is best for you because that's what's going to work anyway.
Yeah. What about you, Christine?
I feel the same way. You know, I usually say a little prayer for protection before going in, and then as I'm leaving, you know, ask that, you know, if there is someone wanting to do that, that they please stay behind, that they're not welcome to come with me.
Yeah. Have you got any photographs? I know you got a lot of photographs on orbs, but you have any photographs of actually people in the windows or any type of developed item like
let
that?
Let me just go ahead and do it because I know he's going to be jumping up and down in the chat room.
Is somebody coming? Somebody calling in?
No.
Heard the background?
No. This Robbie in the Pal Talk chat room actually.
Okay.
He recently visited a a church here in Dillon, South Carolina.
And he says he sees crazy people.
Yeah. and he actually took a picture, and I'll have to send it to you, Derek. There is actually someone looking out of the window.
Okay.
You know, it completely caught him by surprise.
That's probably Robbie looking out the window himself. No.
Yeah. We don't know what they were drinking that night.
If Robbie's got this photograph, what he can also do, too, is he can also email that to me. It's under whiteskycloud@yahoo.com, whiteskycloud@yahoo.com, and I can take a look at it, give you guys some advice if you need it.
Oh, most definitely. Yeah, sure. I mean, the picture's got a few orbs and stuff in it, which, yeah, you know, we might be able to write some of those off because that church is, I think he said, on a dirt road, but, you know, I've kind of looked at the photo real close and everything in it. It really looks like there's a child looking out that window. So.
And it was on a paved road.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, we'll most definitely have to send it to you and let you look it over.
Yeah. Now, we have people who want to call in and ask questions. You guys, if you want to ask any kind of questions regarding this paranormal team, they're from the South Carolina. So they're good at what they do. And the U.S. calls are 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. International callers is 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. Now, you also, we talked about this earlier. You actually are going to start your own radio show.
Yeah.
And it's on the APSR radio site, which is APSRradio.com. And you are, what are you going to call yourself? The Diva?
The Paranormal Divas.
Paranormal Divas. Yes. When do you guys start your radio show now?
Our first broadcast is going to be Monday, February the 4th, and it'll be at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Okay, 8 p.m. Central Standard, so that would be, what, 2 hours ahead or 3 hours ahead?
Yeah, I don't know, because we're Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah.
I'm
Eastern,
horrible.
You are 3 hours ahead of me.
Okay,
probably
so,
two.
Yeah, they would be 2 hours ahead of you.
Okay. Well, we'll get it up in this mountain and there's all this. And so
I know.
Families.
I'm horrible with this stuff, I tell you. You're lucky I'm here, huh?
We've got some people here who are asking questions also from the other BBS radio chat room.
Oh,
and
hey, other people.
They're going,
hey.
Woohoo, Paranormal Divas. Most of them are women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We rock home. Girls rock. Woohoo.
Yeah. So there's a question. Are there more women getting into the paranormal than there is guys?
Absolutely.
There
women
is,
are
like,
more open-minded than men are.
Do you find that you're more stable as a paranormal investigator than men are? Or
no.
Is that a woman?
Think so. I think we're equal, even though men always like to think that they're better. But I just think women are more open to it.
You take the stigmatism out of it, the old-fashioned way. Cause remember, you've seen all these old movies back in the 20s and 30s and 50s and 60s, and the girls going, ah! Freaking
yeah.
out.
Yeah.
And all those
and
girls,
still do
and the
that.
Guys going, I'm a tough guy here. I'm Mr. Macho. Right? And they're going in that house, and then the guys are ones that are screaming like a girl, and the girls standing going, what?
Yeah. Exactly.
I can see another blonde on ghost. Oh, your dog, Kate.
Yes, I'm sorry. Those are mine.
Yeah, you have activity in your house. Must be a ghost in there.
Yeah,
barking dog.
It's a huge ghost. I'm being invaded.
There we
okay.
go.
Oh, we're good.
Okay.
My dog said hi.
Well, okay, dog says hi. They bark, 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 bark.
Well, you know, they don't want to be left out.
Yeah, and all they always want. They actually, you know what? Dogs do, animals do see spirits. You
yes,
ever had that in your house a lot? from your dogs? Do your dogs ever respond to ghosts that way?
Well, no, my house isn't haunted now, so they're just kind of dogs.
Yeah, but they still watch the house, don't they?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
If there's any, if you notice anything strange about them, that they ever see something they're not too sure about that's in your home or anywhere else to take them to, do they respond differently?
Oh,
find the strange
things? Yeah. I mean, animals do that anyway, so.
Yeah.
I think Christine would.
About a fire hydrant, I'm talking about differently when you take them outside when they're trying to find there and they feel there's actually something different on walking down the street or in this, it could be in a park somewhere or, you know, even walking by a graveyard. Do you ever come across that as well with your dogs? You ever been in those type of walks?
I have, yeah.
You have?
Yeah.
And how did it respond to you, Christine?
Well, I had a dog not too terribly long ago that she evidently would pick up on things that obviously I couldn't see or feel. And depending on what it was, she would get somewhat aggressive or be very passive. It just all depended on, I guess, what she felt. And normally she was a very passive, loving dog, but I had seen her several times get aggressive towards some things that I couldn't see.
Uh-huh.
So I know she was picking up on something.
Now, where was this location? What did it look like around you?
We were actually walking through a park, and there was a lake there at the park, and there was something about the edge of the lake that she did not like.
I'm wondering if there was a drowning or something that took place there.
And that could very well be. I never did research it, and that's probably something I should do. But
yeah, it'd be worth your while to check it out.
Yeah.
You know, we've got a lot of paranormal investigation teams all across the world, and there's so many people are joining up all over the world. I mean, really, you even see it on the internet, join these paranormal teams. You know, it's going absolutely like hotcakes. Do you agree with a whole bunch of people, all these people doing paranormal investigations, or do you feel there should be a limitation in it?
Hmm. Well,
a lot of people starting up their own teams now, which they don't really have the experience, but they're still going to at it anyways and making themselves believe that they were paranormal investigators because they're watching out of a TV set.
Yeah, you know, I hope they're not listening, and I'm not going to mention a name, but Christine and most of the people on our team will know who I'm talking about. There's a gentleman in South Carolina who is starting his own team. And he has absolutely no clue what he's doing, and you know that he's got people following him, and you know, they're talking about going on investigations, and they just don't know what they're doing. And these
so
people are not but it's not only dangerous for them; it's dangerous for any client that might call them out.
Let me tell you something about that. When someone gets started in something like this, they don't realize that one of those people on that team can also go through a possession on site. Would he know how to take care of that?
No.
Without having to get worried or run away?
Not at all.
And there's no way if they think they can watch TV and gain the knowledge to do an investigation for a client, there's just no way. You have to know how to deal with the client first and foremost, because not only are you there investigating, but you are also their counselor. They're looking at you for the answers to their questions, and you have to know those answers.
Well, pretty well as much as you possibly best to your knowledge. Yeah.
Exactly. Right. And if you don't know, you have to have the means to get the answer for them.
Yeah,
there's
no such thing as a certified paranormal investigator.
Exactly.
Yet I got people out in this area here telling me they're certified. I'm sure you've heard of it out there.
Yes.
Have you come across that?
Yes.
Certified investigator.
There are no experts. There's no way to get certified. There are no tests that you can take and magically become an investigator overnight. It just doesn't happen that way.
No, if you want to get tested, we just tie you up, put you in an old shack outhouse, and you sit there and wait for the spirits to come to you.
Yeah. that would be fun, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? So then you're waiting for them to scare the crap out of you.
Yeah, exactly.
While you're in the outhouse.
outhouse, huh?
Now, churches. Have you done any investigation in churches?
No, we have not gone in a church. We've done graveyards, but not actually in a church.
What about residences, houses?
Yes, yes. Meaning?
Do you find it more housing now, or is pretty well average to a cemetery, or is this more activity in homes?
Well, typically a cemetery isn't going to be haunted. I mean, you know, if you think about it, the people didn't actually die there. But here in the South, and, you know, around some parts of the other parts of the U.S. too, there are so many unmarked graves, slave graves, you know, and things like that. And, of course, you know, those people are going to be kind of upset that they're not recognized. So,
yeah.
But that's
well,
what
have
I'm
to
mean. I'm sorry. I'd rather do a residency anytime and use graveyards for, you know, training purposes and things like that.
Yeah, because actually I find that very, you know, number one, everybody has to get permission to do this. You just can't go on the site and just do what you want to do because it is rather dangerous at times if you don't do it correctly.
Right.
You know, you don't want to get creating damage to anybody else that's on site. And if this fellow here thinks he knows everything, he should actually discuss it with other people before you start doing something on your own. And you just can't learn from television. You got to
right.
learn it from other people that are in the field that know what they're doing.
Exactly.
If he's been watching Most Haunted too much.
they have to realize that what's on TV is there for entertainment purposes only.
Well, let's put it this way. I watch Most Haunted. But you know what really, really irks me is when they have this one about little kids. These are teenagers from the age of 13 going on paranormal investigation sites, and they're allowing this on television. That I do not agree.
No.
Because I'm waiting for that day for one of those kids to become totally possessed, and then they're going to learn their lesson by how it turns out. I end up getting a 15-year-old boy in my possession, because he was actually messing around the graveyard, and what had happened was he ended up becoming possessed. His mother had to bring him to me. Because of his possessions, his eyes turned jet black.
Oh.
And he was confronting me and telling me he's got more power than anybody else in the world, that he could overpower me. And I said, no, you can't. You cannot overpower me because God is on my side. And I literally had to depossess this young man. And with the help of my guides and angels, his life changed. His mother noticed there was a big difference. But at the time, he was so attracted to it, he would go in and out of faith. He had no memory of what he did. He'd go in and out. So when we did depossess him eventually, doing exorcism. But the second boy came to see me, a young native boy came to see me from way up in Abbotsford. He went through the same thing but different place, and he was going through possession. And when I tried to help him with his possession, he did not want to leave the possession. He was totally fascinated by its power. He refused to receive it, receive the help. That he actually, a month later, like when I tried to help him and he would not listen to me and he tried to run away, I said, well, you're asking me for help, I wasn't running away. A month later, he committed suicide.
No.
Okay, because this entity told him to. Now, the thing is that I'm telling people out there, possessions are not a joke. It's for real. I've come across people like this before. I mean, you got to have the experience. If you don't have the experience, don't even get involved. If you want to get in the paranormal field, get involved investigating people or investigating locations, you make darn sure you know what you're doing. Because you're going to come across them, and, you know, it hits you at the wrong, it'll always hit you at the different times that you don't expect it. These spirits like to get you at the right place at the right time, but only on their own terms.
Sure.
Right? And yet people out there thinking, okay, well, I got a lot of courage, and I can do this, and yeah, we're all in a group and a team, and we'll all be fine. Not always spirits like to come forward when you're in a group full of people in one room. they like to get you individually, and plus people like to take a chance and spend time alone in one room and see if they can make contact. Make darn sure you know you're well protected.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
That's another rule of thumb too, is never ever do anything alone. Never.
No. You guys could go in teams. But if there's somebody here that wants to start himself his own paranormal team, him or hers, make darn sure you know what you're doing before you jump in, because I've been around it for too long.
Mm-hmm.
Seen too many things happen. And it's not funny. I mean, it could be a lot of fun. I find it a lot of fun to do it, but we're doing it as a way of investigating the other side because they're asking us to.
Right.
That's the only reason why we're doing the research. Because it's under a scientific level of it, as well as being under the spiritual sense of it, but we're there for a reason to help people in these locations. And, you know, the veils have opened up much more now, much quicker now, and it's easier access to do paranormal investigating now these days than it was before.
Absolutely.
You know, like if you look at it, for example, there was a movie that took place that was made not too long ago about a young lady that was possessed. Do you remember that movie? American Haunting.
Uh-huh.
You remember that one?
Yeah.
Where basically they put into the movie itself that she herself was possessed, and this entity took her over, and she died in the end, supposedly.
Yeah.
Original story is based on a true story, so to speak, but it wasn't in the States. It actually took place in Germany, and back in 1970. You got to know your research. And even, for example, there was the Amityville Horror. Now, I'm sure you guys know that whole story.
Right. Oh, yeah. Inside and Out.
Okay. And yet here in Canada... Well, we'll say here in British Columbia, there's a couple paranormal teams here in British Columbia, and they themselves believe that the Amityville Horror was actually fake. They don't believe it. They think it was just a farce. They said, oh, it's just fake blood. Somebody just put it there. And yet they were never on site. And if they did go on site, maybe somebody dropped their jam sandwich. They really don't know how it really responded, because they don't know what Ed Warren and his wife did back then when they were doing investigating. And his wife is still active out there doing her thing.
Yeah.
Ed passed away, but she's still doing her thing, and he's actually by her side helping her. So the thing is that you come across people like this that try to debunk you guys, saying, like, you know, you don't know what you're talking about, you know what you're doing, or you shouldn't be doing this.
Actually, we hadn't had anybody too bad. I mean, we're always going to have skeptics that go, you know, it's just this or that. They always write it off. Always. But, you know, what we do is we collect the evidence and we put it in front of the people, and then we say, okay, what do you think? You know, make up your own mind.
Yeah, what do you think, Christine?
I think the same way. I mean, we're going to have skeptics no matter what.
Yeah.
And no matter what we do or what proof we come up with or anything, we're not going to be able to change their minds as long as they're dead set against it. So,
now, have you guys, ladies, have you done any bridges?
No.
Haven't had
the honor yet.
No?
No.
Or being near any camps, you know, where they, I know. Most commonly, you've been to a sanitarium.
No, we haven't.
We don't actually have any locally.
We kind of tend to stick around the South Carolina area, although we're going to start kind of doing a few trips here and there. But we try to stick a little closer to home.
Yeah. Now, how far do you guys go when you do your trips?
What's the
farthest you've ever been?
About 3.5 hours right now, and it was a really long ride.
But was it worth the trip?
Yes. Yes. All of them are worth the trip.
Yeah.
Had a lot of activity in this particular place when you're on that 3-hour or 3.5-hour trip?
No, we didn't get so much a lot of activity. We had some whispering and things like that, but the people, our clients at that residence, were just the most awesome people. And I, as a matter of fact, every client that we've had, we're still friends with. We still keep in touch with. We've just run into some really cool people.
I got one for you. Now, I know I just got an email from Robbie, so I'll be looking at that later on. There is a, I mean, you guys got your teams and all that, and what are their feelings? Do you think that they would, do they think that's going to benefit them more, getting more involved in this, or are they, do they feel it's going to be a temporary thing for them, or do they feel like they want to do it like a lifetime career? Have they ever talked about that kind of thing?
Yeah, we have a few diehards. A matter of fact, I'd go so far as to say about 60% of our entire team is diehard. We couldn't kick them and get them out of it.
Yeah.
There are a few that are, you know, maybe it's a hobby or they're interested. But for the most part, I mean, they're diehard. They want proof of something that they've experienced.
Yeah. Well, good. Now, I let everybody else know out there, our viewers, our audience, they do have, this is South Carolina Paranormal Research and Investigation Team. They do have a website, and it's scprai.com. That's scprai.com. If you guys are in that territory, you know the territory well, if you're looking for investigators to do some work, and if your house is haunted or if you feel it's haunted, give them a call. I'm sure they'll be willing to listen to you, and you can actually email them or give them a call. And work it from there.
Sorry,
you guys have your own baseball caps and T-shirts made yet?
some, yeah. But it's .org, not .com.
Great, take it back, .org.
Yeah,
okay, it means
sorry.
Organization. You're an organization. AI.org.
.org.
Yeah. One time this one guy said it was .ogre, and he wasn't sure. .org. Okay. Wow, this is actually, time is going by really fast, ladies. We've got two more minutes to go. Is there anything you want to share with the rest of the world out there before we shut her down?
I drew a blank as soon as you said that.
Yeah, me too.
A little warning would have been nice.
Absolute silence, right? You feel like a ghost.
Yeah.
Woo.
Well, Christine, I didn't pick on you too hard, did I?
No, you sure didn't, and thank you for that.
Is this your first time on radio?
Yes.
Well, guess what? I think you did fabulous.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah. Not bad for a blonde. I'm just kidding. I hope you ladies do very, very well in what you do. I support what you do because there is a need for every state, for every part of the world. And I believe that once I'm sure there's going to be a lot more success for you. I hope you guys do very well. Your radio show, success for you as well. I mean, the more information we share, the rest of the world needs to know, so we feel more comfortable out there. And I'd like to thank you for coming on.
Well, thank you for having us here.
Definitely thank you for having us. Definitely.
It's great to have you guys on. When do you guys start your first book?
Oh, book. Yeah, we're working on it.
Yeah, you got to get your video out, your first video out, and your book out, so people will know what's going on. You got to have your self-care. You got to do it. South Carolina Paranormal Research and Investigation Team. Get your first book out. Get your video out there. You know, some of the investigations you've done, let people see it.
Yeah, definitely video. We got books I'm not sure about.
Yeah, we can work on that. We can work on that.
You know, I said to someone the other day, I was at the video store, and I said, you know what? Remember those stickers you used to put on the VHSs, please be kind, rewind?
Yeah.
Stick them on the DVDs and see what they do. It's a blonde thing.
It would
thing.
Be a blonde thing, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Well, ladies, it's been a pleasure having you on. Looking forward to having you on next time. Everyone, it's been great. And thank you for listening in. Those of you who are sitting in the chat room, those who are sitting in the Peltop chat room, those who are sitting in the BBS Radio chat room, thank you for listening in. Next week, we have another good, great person coming on the show, because we're getting so close to Valentine's Day. And I'm not going to be coming on the 14th, but I'm coming to be on the 5th of February. So I have a very special guest, and her name is Jill Dane. And she is very well-known in Florida. And she is called the Love Psychic.
Ooh.
Yeah, so she's going to be, we're going to have her on next week, and we're going to have people call in. And if you're looking for your mate out there, she will be there for you. This woman actually is very accurate what she's done. She actually has connected over 750 people in relationships, and they've all gotten married to each other from this. And she's also has done prophetic readings where she's actually has basically told people what events are going to happen in the future, and she's quite accurate. Anyways, folks, look forward to seeing you, talking to you next week. And those of you out there, take care of yourselves. Be safe. And this is Derek White, Sky Cloud, on Between Two Worlds, your friendly neighborhood psychic medium. You guys, take care. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.